It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
I intend to discuss a way that I can help you in a matter of maybe a minute or two sometimes. I will repeat an idea in different ways, as many times as it takes, and to cover an infinity of causes and effects that all belong in the same sequence, depending where you are. That's your illness, or your situation, or your unhappiness, or whatever your problems are. My name is Roy Masters, and I kid you not that I have discovered a way that costs you very little, if anything. You can, there's no charge for anything. You can afford what we have. And it's simple, a technique that will help you to overcome your reaction to stress. And it doesn't require any drugs. Drugs are not a good way to give you self-control. They actually take your control away. You become dependent on the drug. So that doesn't mean you're not involved. Somebody or something else is. So whatever it gives you, it can also take it away. And those who give you love, and you're dependent on that love for the giving of it, can also remove it and then leave you empty. And so the various drugs and various things you take, and whatever it is you depend upon to experience self-control or self-worth, you can't really, it's really a misnomer to say, you know, you get control or, from a pill, self-control from a pill, or willpower from this or that. We need to understand the mystery of willpower. Need to understand these things. And I will show you, if you'll please call the number and let me talk to a real-life person. The number is 800-866-8883. And I will show you, walk you through, explain it at first, not walk you through maybe if you ask me, and send you to a website, fhu.com, so you can download the CD. And as I said, if you can't afford it, it's yours. And it will show you a simple shortcut to absolute control over your life, regardless of circumstances. I think Jesus was in control of his life when he was on the cross. He actually decided that that's what he's supposed to be, and Pontius Pilate would try to save him. And he wouldn't let him. He just knew that's where he needed to be, and that's where he was going to go. And it was a strange struggle between those two. But Jesus was able to control the circumstances. And I think you should be able to control circumstances, even if you're in a situation where it appears to be that you're not in control, like in prison, or you've been arrested, or, you know, you're fired and you haven't got a job. Well, it doesn't mean to say you're out of control, you're out of a job. Or everywhere there is adversity, there's opportunity for strength. If there wasn't such a thing as adversity, you could not have any character. Not even animals can have character, if you want to equate courage and stuff like that with character. Not that animals have character, but they do have strength, which is the survival of the fittest. The ones that aren't strong enough, they die. The ones that are strong enough, they live to reproduce others who go through the same cycle. And therefore, nature is always repressed. There's always the grass is always on the ground, and there's always cows in the field. Not the same cows, but the same scene. And same with people. There are always people in the world, and they all have the same thoughts, and they all die for the same reasons, and they all go to war for the same reasons, and get divorced for the same reasons, and get cancer for the same reasons. We need to explore what the reason is. It's almost like in my world, Roy's world, is like it's a universe. It's like a universe of spiritual life, a way of life. It's for us to discover our way to the beginning, to work our way to find that beginning, or experience that beginning beckoning to us, like we do in science. It beckons to us. What is the beginning? Where does all this matter come from? What's the unified field? What is this one thing, the magic? Where did it all begin? And we all work to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and then what's there? What's beyond that? Nothing. So, it's the same thing with human nature. All of our problems grow out of missing that, see? Losing our roots, our connection. And the problems go away by reconnecting. So my job is help you to reconnect. That's what I'm going to do. So will you help me? I'll help you. We'll be right back. I'm Roy Masters, 866-8883. Bye.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
What I would love to do and tend to restrain myself from doing it, a friend of mine, Colonel Monaco, gives me a lecture every now and then. He says, stop talking about, you know, politics and what's going on in the world. And I said, well, there's a connection. I said, you know, what's going on in the ordinary person is replicated. You can see it on the stage of life. The politicians are really just as selfish as you are, and you're just part of the problem. And so the power play, for example, in your home is one of intimidation. Who can intimidate the most gets to be the obsequious dummy manipulator of the house. We're all ruled by others, and it should not be. And that we have a chain of command. We have in social order, whether it's a cannibal tribe or whether it's a system of laws, it shouldn't be a dog-eat-dog world, but roughly we all have given up something of our lives to have an order in our lives, because if we didn't have some kind of order in our life, there'd be chaos. Why would there be a chaos? If you look in the animal world, there's no chaos there at all. There's just order. Even they have social orders. The dogs have. The wolves don't kill each other like human beings do. You know, they're much more civil. One submits, and then you have pack leader. But the trouble is, human beings are always struggling for ascendancy. Everybody wants to be number one, and then you become number two, if you know what I mean. And so even number one is number two, as far as another number one above him is concerned. We're weak before the strong. It shouldn't be. It's a system of weak before the strong, strong before the weak, all the way down and all the way up. So, you know, it's a hypnotic state, basically, of one person controlling another. And so we take our frustrations of being controlled by doing the controlling and just being angry. So I want to talk to you about anger. A very, very important lesson you can learn from from yours truly, of course, and from the Dog Whisperer. Now, I don't think many people get the Dog Whisperer, but he's the only person I know. Preachers should talk about it, psychiatrists should talk about it, everybody should be talking about it. He's the only one who talks about energy. He demonstrates the energy. And an energy that causes a dog to submit and to become conditioned and to see him as the pack leader, if you like. Well, I would like to hand you the key to that power over other people. Now, this is not negative. I'm not saying that I want you to be a pack leader and I want you to exert control with your will over other people. That's what's wrong with the human race. So I'm going to tell you that up front. I'm not going to give you this. I'm going to give you this key if you're willing to understand it. And you have to understand what the weakness, what your fault is before you can have that key. If you're not willing to see your fault, being resentful and angry, basically. It's very simple. The universe begins with something very simple. The universe is made of very few principles. I say only one, but then it becomes two, and it becomes four, and so on and so forth. But your problems begin from a simple beginning, from being detached from your origin. Origin meaning not a generational origin, although there's a story to that, but coming into a poisonous environment, as we all do, especially in America these days, is put the atmosphere, you can cut it with a knife. But being separated by that influence, that energy, the ugly energy that's all around us, and we are infected by that. To the degree that we are infected by those things, we do the infect. We're infected, and then we have to infect. So this is the sickness that is our society, and by which we are all controlled, eventually losing our sovereignty. And the laws on the books are needed, but the laws on the books should be the laws of the heart. And the laws of the heart, if they were put into full effect by being joined from whom we've been separated from, if that's not very good English, forgive me, then they should be on the books. And that at least is a great benefit to have the laws of the heart on the books. It's better to have the laws in the heart so you don't need the books. The laws on the books then create a civil society, but still within that realm we have a chance to discover what civilization is. Those laws can't be counted upon, nor the people who regulate them and lord over you through them. You can't. It's sort of going to come crashing down, because until we tend to rebel. We tend to rebel against those laws, especially the authority behind the law. For instance, if you have a hypocritical mother or father who goes to church, well, you'll have a conformist, one who gives in to that order and produces and gets married, and that influence will be either creating a rebel or conformist, or a whole family of conformists, or a whole family of rebels. And so it goes on like that. So it all depends upon what kind of authority you are in the face of stress. Do you cringe? Do you get upset? Because to the degree, if you're the dog whisperer, you're certainly not going to be a good dog trainer if you're going to be frightened by a snapping jaws of angry dog. You have to be as cool as cucumber. And that dog knows that he can't get the energy, the juice, the reaction juice. If you react, he reacts. The dog reacts and you react. And you react like the dog, and the dog reacts like you. And that's what you go around in your family. You'll see that if one of you could stay calm in the face of the other, the person who is the angry one, well, it has a very interesting effect. Now, I will discuss these things with you later on. But more often than not, that person burns themselves out. Your children will burn themselves out. And you don't have to be mean. You don't have to scream. You don't have to say shut up. They're whatever they have in mind, whatever they want from you, they cannot get. And they get frustrated and worn out because they can't get the juice, the energy juice. You're a juice drink. You're an energy drink to them. If you react to that, you energize them. You give them the power to go on yelling and screaming and nagging you. And there's something deep inside a human being that needs you not to do that. They need you to be the kind of dad or mom they never had. See, that sort of thing. Even if it's an old man that's mean and you're a young kid, if you stay calm and the old man is mean, and you can learn to deal with that person without flinching, you'll never become inflicted or infected. Instead, the old man himself, the person who's mean, becomes affected or afflicted by what's good in you. There's a war going on between who's going to inflict what upon whom. So the mean person wants to get his energy from inflicting a mortal wound on you by cruelty. You, on the other hand, if you're not careful, you'll get upset and you'll be impaled by that that blow, that the drawing of first blood, the one who draws first blood is always the winner and keeps going on winning. So that the person who draws first blood is the one that wins. And it wins in a sense that you lose something to that person. You are severed from an origin that you need to hold fast to. But until you know what this origin is, until you understand the name of the game, which is winning through intimidation, you will always be subject to intimidation, and you will become the thing you hate and turn around and take it out on somebody else, whether you realize that you're doing it or not. And the whole country can be controlled just by one person that way. See, now I'm going to take my calls. Now, I hope I've intrigued you sufficiently to say that you're smoking, you're drinking, you're drugs, anything. Any problem you have, it's very easy to overcome. You just have to overcome the root. And the root is, well, the root of it is your separation from something. Okay, God, if you like. It doesn't have to have a name. It will have a name sooner or later when you practice it, this presence. But separation from a part of you that is vital to your spiritual existence. You're not just flesh and blood, a monkey. You are a human being. And what makes you uniquely human is that you bring into this world through you a spirit. It superimposes itself on the world around you. And the world around you is full of animal people. And they don't like where you're coming from. So good people are going to have a hard time. I mean, you can be good without realizing you have this gift. And you don't even know you have it. And you don't know why people hate you for it. Because you don't belong in this world. It's owned by those who are owned by those that are infected. Like the body snatchers, you know, body snatch people. Who don't see there's anything wrong with them. The body snatch people don't see anything wrong with them. So you can reason with them and argue. And argument and reasoning with them is a very interesting thing. They don't get it. And you can try reasoning and think, you're a reasonable person. Why are they doing this unreasonable thing? They do it to intimidate, and they don't understand that is normal to them. It's normal to be strong in their intimidation and very resistant to any correction. And to actually not see what you're trying to say to them. So that infuriates you more, and that's part of the mess. So now, we're going to take my first calls here. And let me see what we got over here. And the phone number is 800-866-8883. Would you like to get a copy of the CD? I know I haven't said much about it yet. It's a CD which will, in about 20 minutes, you can learn it. A 5-year-old could do it. A 50-year-old may have a more difficult time because he's more messed up than a 5-year-old. You've got so many excuses and rationalizations for all the things you are. That's become a block. Like a layer and layer and layer of denial. And of course, if you're in denial, you may be able to see other people in denial, but you can't see your own. See? Maybe you can. Maybe you can. Maybe I can get you to... When people call 800-866-8883, Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, that's the live time, by the way, West Coast time, my job is to get you to see something. I can't give you the gift until you're willing to receive it. And if you're not... But if you think that I'm going to give you a solution to your cancer, your drug problem, or anything, you know, with a lot of explanation, without you accepting the fact that, well, you're angry. You've got to give up the anger. The anger is a defense. I'm giving you a little clue here. Anger does several things. And as a matter of fact, it does millions, it causes hundreds of thousands of things to go wrong. If you count all the people, but there's variations of the theme which are endless. But there's a theme which is all alike, basically, and I can describe some of them, see. Divorce, sickness, cancer, depression, all kinds of things. Every habit you've got, every addiction you have is based on the fact that you lack something. You lack something, you've lost something to the table, to the house, to your wife, to the ladies, to money, whatever it is. But there's always frustration, something called resentment. Resentment is a hypnotic key which opens the door and opens an infection. Your spiritual immune system disintegrates the minute it happens. And a minute happens, you're not going to be the same for the rest of your life because your rest of your life will fall apart piece by piece, no matter how much you try to reconstruct and reinvent yourself. It will never work. Nothing will. You know, you have to go through life a lot like that until you find everything you do, all the money you get, all the love you ever got, all the sex you ever got, nothing works. Nothing. Then you're about to kill yourself. You see your whole world crumbling apart, everybody in it doing the same thing. So what's the use? And that's, I suppose that's what hell wants. It wants you to feel that way and say, you know, go ahead, kill yourself. Well, that's what it wants. You know, there's no meaning to life anyway, so you don't have to stand this pain anymore. That's what it talks to you like that. And I would have beg to differ. I think that the adversity that we are about to face collectively and individually is very, very valuable, and this is a wake-up call for America. Really? And I'm a person that can help you walk you through this. And many of you are waking up now where you wouldn't have awakened. Because what you have now is a person that represents all your weaknesses and nurtures, like abortion and same-sex marriage. And these are all what have shaped us. We have accepted these strange ideas, homosexuality. We've accepted all these things. And if you ask the average young person today, they feel like cheating in school is okay, and you just, you know, it is the end justifies the means, and that's communism, basically. And they don't know that. But virtue is not valued, and common sense is no longer valued. It is the purpose of those who rule you to destroy your common sense and to turn everything upside down. And you can see this happening with some of your rulers. For instance, you can see President Obama using contradiction as reality. How he reverses himself. Like, for instance, was it today? I wrote some notes to myself, and I haven't got it.
It's rolling on the floor. Don't go away.
I'm coming back to my microphone. Yes, he says, not very good at remembering things. He says, he's created all this, debt, which we can't sustain. And he's the one that sets it in motion, billions and trillions of dollars. And then all of a sudden he says, it's not sustainable. And it's like, wow, what's going on? Why is he doing this? And while he's doing it, it's all going in motion. And then he says, but it's not sustainable. It's like contradiction is reality. So don't be surprised when you see these things happening, because you do the same thing with your children. You also contradict yourself and don't see yourself doing it and drive your children mad. You don't realize it. You remember your parents contradicting themselves, one saying a thing and doing another, and contradicting reality all the time, one saying one thing, meaning another, and then not admitting that they have just contradicted themselves. And that contradiction is reality, part of a socialist platform to keep you confused and off balance. And so there's a method in the madness, and I would like to... I don't want to make this a political program. I've got to show you life examples that's up on the stage there. These techniques that you use on each other. The boss uses it. Your wife uses it. The friends use it on you. And you get confused. But they don't feel confused because their reality is already gone, and they've justified and made excuses for themselves. And so they live a contradictory and confusing life, but they don't see anything confusing about it. They only see the only thing that's wrong is that you're not confused, and that's very confusing to them. You see, in other words, contradiction is their reality. They live in a world that contradicts itself. And they feel comfortable there, and they feel uncomfortable with what they have lost, which now appears in you. And it makes them angry. And that's why where the cruelty comes in. Why do you think this genocide? Why do you think genocide exists? And why is it always the innocent that get murdered? Why don't the innocent murder the opposite? Well, because they'd be in the same role, wouldn't they? It's always the innocent, the helpless, the young, the old, the helpless, the people are less wrong. And the monsters grow from that. You can't walk around in this idyllic world. Apocalypto, is that the word? Is it apocalypto? It's a perfect example of that South American jungle, a tribe of Aztecs, I suppose, living happily. not realize. Huh? Mayans, that's Mayans, yes. Living happily, and they were oblivious to the world around them. And then they got a taste of it. Couldn't understand how the world around them was reaching out in the jargon, spreading itself. So we need to understand that evil will spread, and we can't live in an idyllic paradise. My children grow up, I've always showed them the world and never been afraid, as this is how you deal with it. And that means, and it works for them. They're very successful in what they do. And I am too. I want to be successful in you by making you a success in dealing with evil. Because that's what you're dealing with. Whether it's good people can have evil in them too. They can be infected with it like a disease. And they would like to rid themselves of it. But they don't know how. They don't even know it is a disease, because in today's modern world, everything is, mental wiring, or everything's physical. There's no God. And there's always somewhere you can get some relief, and there's the problem again. It's always external, external, external. A little bit, a tiny bit of common sense. That's all it takes, just a little bit. And it breeds more. And then the more you have, the more you've got. The more love you have, and the more patience you have, the more patience it was given you. There's something about love, or whatever it is I'm talking about, that the more you give, the more you got of it to give. Now we can take our calls. All right, now, what is this mystery? Why can't you learn this in church? You should. Why couldn't you get this from a psychiatrist? You should. Why can't you get it in your father's lap, sitting on his lap when he talks to you? Or your mom? Why can't I get you a preacher? Why isn't it there? It's nowhere. The dog whisperer is a better preacher than all of the above. I should have him on my program one day. I don't know if he'd come, but I'd make a great guest. Would somebody at the network ask the Cesar Millan if he'd like to be on my program? I'd love to have him on. I just like that band is... Nobody will talk about the energy. The energy that surrounds it makes, it's an energy, it's magic, but there's another kind of energy which is something beyond dogs, which now affects people. Having that energy around you protects you from that kind of beastly energy, the beast, the adversary that wants to infect you. Not only that, but those who are infected become cured. And it's energy. And it's not just the words. It's who speaks them, who lives them. All right. Now, look at me. I've got all these calls. I know who is going to be first. Let's see. Oh, I spent all this time. I beg your pardon. Let me see. I drove 731 miles last evening. I was going to do a program. I wasn't a bit tired. I just had an operation. And I'm fixed, thank you. I've all my problems, thank God, up to now. All the ones are fixed now, all the ones that were broken. And in the order I said, the first person, the first illness to begin is the last one to go. The last one to appear is the first one to go. And 30 years later, it's absolutely proved perfect. I'm in sound mind and body and health. I've survived the medical matrix. But you may not survive it because... Well, because all the above mitigates against you. We'll be right back. My name is Roy Masters, and the number to call on this program is 800-866-8883. And my office number is 800-877-3227. Remember what I said. If you can't afford anything at all for the CD, don't be prideful. Let me give it to you. It's called Be Still and Know, or go to the web and download it for whatever you want to pay for it. It starts with $5. And then put what you want in there. Download the CD. Burn a CD. Burn one for a friend. But then listen to it. And see how it doesn't lead you to the secret life that's been following you like a hound of heaven. Okay? I will unfold like a flower. We'll be right back.
are you ready to take control over your life?
Before I got involved in doing the observation exercise, I used to go to a 12-step group. I don't go to them anymore because I discovered that they're basically worthless because all I'm doing is talking about my past. Since I started doing the exercise, I barely think about the past anymore. It's going away. But even in those periods when I used to go to these recovery groups, it seemed like the longest period of time I could ever go without backsliding would be like 3 months. This time, I don't feel guilty about what I did. I understand what I did. This type of an incident in the past would have put me in a depression. I would have stopped working, just created more and more pain for myself. You talk about how you effortlessly will leave these things behind, and it's so true. It's so amazing.
Are you ready to stop struggling? Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Learn how to deal with stress properly. Visit Are You Ready to Stop Struggling with Your Problems?
Every night I take a drive out into the wilderness area around here and sometimes wept because I couldn't figure out what was still wrong. What he did for me is he bore witness to everything that was already running through my mind, and through doing that, helped me delve into my past and see where things went wrong. And as the resentment has fallen away, as he says, without trying, my bad habits are disappearing.
Are you ready to stop being so emotional and angry and upset all the time?
The drinking's gone. The drugging is gone. I quit smoking 5 months ago, and I don't even care about it anymore. It's amazing. I've lost 15 pounds in the last 2 months, and I'm running again. And it's all without saying I have to do it. It just happens.
These are the words of people whose lives have changed radically because they've discovered how to gain control over their negative emotions.
I know that a lot of people are listening because I was, and I was really hurting. And I just turned on the radio, and it really helped me just, like, have peace at night. But I feel like I had to call him. You know, it's very important that he stays on the radio and still gives his advice, even though people may feel that it's harsh or whatever they may feel, but it's honest and it's real, and people need to hear the truth and not have it sugarcoated.
He's very much appreciated, and he has helped me. It's been taking years for him to personally get through all the layers of things with me, but I'm coming along. We're always reaching out for an answer, and we're not reaching in. I found that in being still, it's so effortless that we're so used to our own will, we don't see it. It's all the different ways that he attacked that. I can't imagine the prison system and the military going without his services.
These people have discovered that stress itself really isn't the problem. It's the way we react to it. Learn how to deal with stress properly, and all of your other problems will begin to fade away.
Roy, thank you for all the truth you said. And since I listen to you regularly, I went from 300 pounds to 140. Before that, I quit being promiscuous. I gave up pot. I gave up going to bars. Married. Oh, we are still married, almost 30 years. Listening to you, I got so much better as the years passed. Our daughters never did pot, never got drunk, never were promiscuous. Both are married, one to a soldier, one to a Marine. We're that blessed thanks to you waking just one of the parents up.
Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227. Learn a simple technique that will change your life. Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, and I'm going to take my calls, but just quickly, the situation in Notre Dame Catholic University, I just want to say something very important, because Catholicism is one of the few religions that I do respect. Not that it has a great history, but I do respect it now, that it holds life sacred, if you know what I mean. And to allow the president, who has very different views, to give a speech there. If you allow that to happen, it'll be the end of your religion. That's all there is to it. So it may not mean much to the students there, because I think the faculty, they should never have hired the faculty that it didn't hold true to those tenets. It seems like that university was sort of a sacred cradle for this country. I mean, it just has all the values there, at least on the books and in the minds of people, even if it isn't in the hearts. Still very important. I just want to say that, for what it's worth, dear partner. You Catholics out there, if you want to say goodbye to religion, and all the other religions after this will be overcome, it'll just go from one to another. I mean, religion won't stand a chance if Notre Dame folds this easy. That's what I want to say. There needs to be a message sent back, especially to an important person that represents all the above that's wrong with the country, you see. There's so many wrong people in this country that he's a champion of that now, you see. And it's very important. You elect the kind of person that champions everything you are. And if you have a rotten society, then you'll have a person that champions that rottenness. Now, you may not think that kind of wildlife of having sex and aborting your babies and all the rest of it is rotten, but that's your problem, isn't it? If you can't see anything wrong with it, that's why you're cursed. That's why the country's cursed right now. That's why we have to get back to the values. Please, I'm just begging you to pay attention to what I'm saying. I can help you return to those values, not just by a religion, by mechanical rules, but by bringing you back into union with what you've lost through being resentful and angry and frustrated and wounded by injustice. Okay, now we take our calls. We're going to go to Karen in California. Hello, Karen. What can I do for you?
Hi, I was told, my mother listens to you in Boston, that you, I have PTSD. I accidentally took a life on my way to work about 10 years ago, completely sober, not speeding. I lost control of my vehicle, prior to hitting a pedestrian, and, I'm ex-law enforcement. I was also a volunteer firefighter. I'm a good person. I'm a Christian. I don't do drugs. I don't drink, and I don't know how to deal with it, and I'm having a really, really hard time.
Is it your habit to take a mistake as an honest mistake?
Is it my habit to take a mistake as an honest mistake?
Well, I mean, I know maybe I just jumped the gun on you. Was the mistake? I'm not quite sure what you're saying. You weren't drinking at the time. It was an honest accident, was it? Tell me what happened, just so I get an idea, so I know what I'm dealing with.
Both sides of the law enforcement and the DA and everybody said that what happened was my vehicle, one of the tires, I drifted a little bit for some reason, and it came to me in a dream a couple years ago. I think I was pushing cruise control, and that's where I visually, it had to be my fault because my car left the road.
Well,
and I was out of control rolling 100 yards. Prior to hitting this woman, a pedestrian, and I.
Oh dear! You might have been daydreaming.
I don't think so. I don't think.
A lot of us daydream when we're walking down the street. You can pass your best friend on the street and not see them, and it does happen. And if you were not fully conscious while you're driving, there's a way of thinking while you're driving, but the trouble is, if you have a habit of making excuses for yourself, there's a tendency to think about, if he said that to me, I said that to him, and there's a little thing going on inside your head while you're driving. And the images in your head take precedence over what your eyes see. And that happens so much. Like a person can, you know, just look in the mirror and see whether the lipstick was on straight and then have an accident. That is because we are prone to all those little habits, easily distracted, you know, seeing if your hair is straight in the mirror for a second. But this is the kind of thing that's sort of narcissistic. Little things like that happen all the time. And to the degree that you're not disciplined, these things do happen. And you have paid sooner or later nothing may happen for a long time, but sooner or later you have to pay the price for it, and then you suffer. If you have conscience, you're suffering from it. I do suggest that it is your fault, meaning there is a fault. There's a fault there, but and I say your fault, I don't mean that in a pernicious way.
Oh, I know. I know. It is what it is. It happened. I was driving, and it is what it is. It's just that I know that she can't breathe. She can't be unhappy. She can't be happy. I didn't celebrate my birthday for 10 years because she can't. I didn't leave the house for 10 years. I still don't leave the house much. I don't understand how I'm supposed to feel okay. I can't feel okay.
I'll tell you what you need to consider. Hating that it happened, and unconsciously hating the person for being injured.
I know, but
you hate her too. And I guarantee you that, or your money back. I've always said in a joke to people, even though they're not spending any money. But the dollars to donuts, that you have a resentment towards the circumstance. You know, it's a way of looking, again, it's a way of looking away from yourself. When you're resentful towards anything, see, it is not kosher. It is a way of distracting yourself from seeing what fault there is. Now, the only fault that a person can have, the only real fault, for instance, the Adam and Eve story, the fault wasn't eating the fruit. The fault was, Eve made me do it. See, that is the fault. That is the excuse for it, the machinery by which we deny culpability in any shape or form. Even if we're not culpable, and we think we are, we go into that funk that you're in, and you stay angry because it sends up a smoke screen, like an energy field that keeps this incriminating conscience, or what appears to be an incriminating conscience. Your conscience bothers you, but it's not incriminating. It's only incriminating if you don't own up to it. And then you stay angry not to see things. So you get angry. You direct your anger towards the person. And then you feel guilty. Because, after all,
I've spent 10 years and I can honestly say I haven't felt anger towards her at all.
No, it's not. Tell me what you're angry about then. Because I can tell you,
circumstances. It wasn't like most accidents where people just
you're angry about the accident, right?
I should have had my I would have had my accident whether she was there or not. I was having it already. It had nothing to do with her being there.
Listen to what you have. Are you listening to yourself? I would have had my accident whether she was there already. So in other words, you were accident prone. It was happening. It was happening exactly the way I said, and then she happened to be there. And it would have been okay if she wouldn't have been there. But since, damn it, she's there. Now I really got a problem. See,
now you're
really angry. You think you're angry at the accident. No, you're actually angry with the person. You're angry with the, listen to me. You want to get better, do you? Do you want to get miserable? You'll stay miserable like this all your life? You're going to go on being miserable for the rest of your life if you're not careful, because there's no reason why you shouldn't get over this. You just have to stop being angry at the person. And that's one thing you can't, because if the person hadn't have been there, you wouldn't have been so disturbed. It just that you would have lost your car. But now you have guilt attached to it. You've hurt somebody, and that's it. You don't want to hurt someone. I get that. But instead of it bothering you in a healthy way, it's bothering you in an unhealthy way. In other words, that person is your ego. That person, if he wasn't there, it wouldn't have been so bad. Now the person's there, it's my fault, and I have to find a way to make up for this guilt. Damn it, I can't be happy because she's not happy. Listen to it. It's all there. Got to drop that now. Because you're not helping that person. Do you ever go see that individual? She dropped. Never mind. She's dropped. Well, we'll try again. Now, did you hear what I heard? Did you hear it? Now, some of you may be angry with me. Why are you being hard on this lady? She's got post-traumatic stress disorder. That serves her right, actually. She's not willing to see. She's angry at the person. Did you know, Husbands can be angry with their wives for dying because they build their lives around their wives and they love their wives and they've done too much for them. Their whole life is their wife, and all of a sudden the wife dies. And so that the core of their being is in the ground. It's like God died and they're left. Or like you lose all your money and you want to throw yourself off the Empire State Building because you build your life around money. A lot of people commit suicide. Just recently in Australia, there's been a lot of fires. And a lot of Australian farmers have committed suicide. Why? Their way of life. Their ranch is gone. Their cattle is gone. Everything's burned to the ground. And these people are hardworking people. They're angry. Their whole life was work. Now, I'm not saying hard work is bad. Hard work is good, but how can I say that? It's not easy to find the right words for it. But if you're a doctor, you're a person, and if you assume the identity of a doctor and lose yourself in it. So that if you lose your practice, or if you're a baseball player and you lose your arm, you could become suicidal because all this fame is gone. Everything that is built on, everything is. So all of a sudden you become a nothing. The cheering crowds go away, and you can't play baseball even with your kids. Even your kids can hate you for having only one arm. I know a boy I had to help one time, who hated his father. Came back from Vietnam. He had one arm. He couldn't play baseball with him anymore. And he actually had a problem of hating his dad. The dad was a decent guy. But that's what egos are. Inconvenient. I don't have a dad. You can actually hate your father for not being there. Maybe your mother, maybe you had an accident. But you may resent God or your dad because you never had a dad to protect you and therefore got angry and other kids had dads and so on and so forth. So therefore, it goes right round to selfishness. See, I told you when I began the program, there are mechanisms that keep you from seeing. The mechanisms that can keep you seeing yourself from your own faults. If that woman hadn't have been there, I would just lost my car, big deal. The accident was going to happen anyway. She knew it. But the person, I would have given her a better answer, but she clicked off too soon, so maybe I can give that answer to somebody else similar. We'll be right back. All right, now, that is the chance that person's listening. Here's the gamble, that when you tell people the truth, it can produce so much anger. But that's, remember what I said about anger? It's not a defense. I didn't say that tonight, but I've said it many other nights, and I say it again now, that it is not a defense against truth or even against cruelty. It's not a defense against anything, an adversary. It opens the door and lets it in. So I have no anxiety over disturbing somebody who is already disturbed by telling them what I know to be the truth. And then she's angry with me. And then I get into the loop. And maybe it goes round and round in her head, because that's the kind of thing that does it to you when you're angry with somebody. And I have no intention of making her angry. I just want to make this point. And I know the machinery works like that. You can see your own machinery. If you have an intuitive self, you can see it. It's a machinery that's common to all human beings, not just this lady that called. Why I know these things is because it's common to blame somebody, even if it isn't. You can blame the weather and be angry because the weather's not right, because you're not happy. And there may be a connection to that, something in your life. I get it. But you can always also find fault with people, even though there's no fault there, and project it there, and then stay angry all the time and never see your own. Get it. This is the case with this lady. So I'm hoping she's listening. And even if she isn't, it goes round and round in her head. It'll either make her worse or get better. I have no fear of that. because that's a good, that's an opportunity. It'll could make her worse, but not by being angry with me. But I can't control that. I'm saying you shouldn't be, but then she wants to be with me, and there it is again. You can, people can be angry at you for telling them the truth. You don't like Sarah Palin, you get angry with her. That's how you defend against what shines in her, what you've lost in yourself. What's been bothering you, what's running from in yourself, you meet it in her and me. So there you are. Why don't you call my office? I've been lecturing. I should have told my phone number to call my office. Business hours, West Coast time, 800-877-3227. You get a CD there or get it on the web, FHU.com, FHU.com. We'll be right back.
To Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
We got another hour and 10 minutes, so you hang on, everybody. New Jersey, look at this. Chicago, what's this one? Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Boston. Yeah, and Boston. So all the East Coast, that's interesting. And I got a live station here in Las Vegas, and not many people calling from there tonight, but okay. I was thinking of giving the ones furthest away the first shot, but they're all far away, so we'll take this one. Everybody hang loose. Sandra, hello in Rhode Island. What can I do for you?
Hi, Roy.
Hi.
I was going to ask you a question about AA, but as I've been sitting on hold, something's happening to me.
Okay.
I'm getting this overwhelming anxiety. It's starting in my stomach and it's coming up through my chest, and I feel like someone's twisting my neck, like there's a cord in my neck that's twisting. And when I've been meditating for a few weeks, and as soon as I sit down to meditate and I start focusing on my hand, it's almost like I feel like someone's strangling me.
Well, it is something strangling you inside. It may be an effect of an actual incident of someone, you know, smothering you or hurting you that way. But on the other hand, it may not be, but there is something inside you called an entity. And, you know, you maybe have heard me speak about this. It's not us that thinks. It's something that thinks to us, and we think it's us thinking. It's not us that wants. It's not really. It's it inside us that wants us to want it, and wants us to think that it's right in wanting something that you shouldn't want. And that sort of gratifies, so it helps you to gratify, lose yourself in the gratification, but lose yourself in it. And so when you're meditating, I can see that's what's happening to you. You're becoming objective. You're no longer part of that thinking process. You know the lady I was talking to just now?
Yes.
I said that people, they daydream while they're driving, doing things, when they're walking down the street. They're constantly living in this dream world as an escape from reality, or to solve problems, which you never can there. And you're always aware worry is a negative way of negative faith. But worry simply looks like you're concerned about something. It can actually really look like you're really a wonderful person worrying about your kids or this and that. But no, it's not. It's simply a ruse to escape the pain of what you're becoming. And you, of course, as a result of rejecting the very thing that will save you, thinking it's the enemy, your conscience. That's what it is. Your conscience seems like your enemy. It makes enemies your friends. It'll make the enemies who are really enemies your friends. So you have an enemy inside you. You have an adversary. Jesus called it the adversary.
It's inside you. Something wants to come out.
Yes, it does. It will come out. It might even come out on a radio program one of these days.
Right now. It's just like something is strangling me.
I know. It's something inside you wants to kill you. It's every human being has. They are also. Everybody seems to be involved in their own downfall or the downfall of another, but meanwhile, involved their own downfall. You knock somebody down to build yourself up. You're stooping to destroy another person in order to get their life force, the sense of worth over something that is lower than you, that you made lower. It's something has robbed you of something and made a home in you, and It's you're an alcoholic, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. See, again, you're in denial. If you stop drinking, by the way.
Yes.
Good for you. So
well,
you're sort
I,
of.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason I called was because I admitted it and finally realized it. It's actually been 16 days, and I stopped. And
yes, but now you're seeing. But now you're beginning to see. You're going to come to grips with it, and the first thing you're going to see is this ugly thing that wants you to be angry with it, to struggle with it. Now you must learn to watch the anger, admit to the anger, and see that something in you wants you to be angry with it. Just like the person in your life wanted you to be angry because they couldn't stand your brightness. They wanted to do all this injustice to you, to hurt you, to get inside you. Who was that person?
My mother. I think... My mother used to listen to you 25 years ago.
Yes, yes.
A lot, to the point where we used to make fun of her sometimes when she would be listening. Oh, are you listening to Roy? You know, it's supper time or whatever. And then as kids, we would come into the kitchen, and you would say something that we would hear and know, and we'd look at her and say, Mom, did you hear that? We weren't wrong.
Yeah.
You know? So us as little kids, we would call you Roy the something. I forget. It was a joke, you know. But there would be times where all of us as little children would hear something and turn around to my mother and say, this is the guy that you're listening to.
And she didn't get it. And she didn't get it. Hold the line.
No,
hold the line.
Now,
hold the line. No. Hold it because I have to make a break. I love you. I'm going to hold you over. Can you hold? Can you please hold? Ask your lady to.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Are you still there? Okay. You hang in there because you're interesting. You are actually opening up. You're not like the other lady. You're opening up. I can help you. Maybe I can help the other lady too. Who knows? We'll see. If I can shock her into realizing what I just said it was true about hating the person she knocked down. As if it was the person, you see. They'd have to see it's her own fault that way. She doesn't have to see the fault in her. Whatever it is, there's a lot of it.
If you're a regular listener to Roy Masters' radio program, I want to tell you a story about an old man who came to a raging river, and he stopped and began to build a bridge across. He spent many years building that bridge, toiling every single day. And then one day, a young man came, and he said, Old man, what are you doing?
I'm building a bridge.
And the young man said, Why? You could have gotten across the river. Why did you stay to build it? He said,
Because I knew one day someone would come that couldn't cross this raging river. So I built it for you.
Roy Masters has been building a bridge for people for almost 50 years. He's helped to change this country in ways you will never understand or know. So if you appreciate the bridge that he's built, please help him keep building the bridge for future generations. Your donations to the Foundation of Human Understanding are tax deductible. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours Monday through Friday. If you've been helped by the work Roy Masters is doing on the radio, please consider paying forward the gift you have received so others may benefit as well. The Pay It Forward program allows you to automatically donate the amount you want on a monthly basis. Even just $5 a month from people who care will make a difference. Or you can make a one-time donation and help support our radio program and website, as well as our prison ministry and Patriot Outreach program. If you'd like to contact us by mail, write to the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or call Monday through Friday, regular business hours, West Coast time, 1-800-877-3227. Again, that's the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. For more information on the Foundation of Human Understanding, visit the website fhu.com. That's fhu.com.